B&E with you. It's a Thursday. Buck-ons and buck-offs. Because it's a Buck-Off Thursday, brought to you by Green Mountain Flower Company, who, in your opinion, has earned a pat on the back. Who has earned a kick in the hindquarters? That's a buck-off each and every Thursday. You decide. Specs text line, 512-337-3776. So far this morning, the buck-offs have been aplenty for the Philadelphia 76ers, and their blown 26-point lead yesterday or last night in Game 5 of that Eastern Conference semifinal series. But the Hawk fans are weighing in, too. Hey, go Hawks. Give them some credit, too. Trae Young was pretty damn good.
Yes, he was.
And so was Hot Wings. Sweet Lou Williams off
the
bench.
Lemon pepper.
Oh, yeah.
Buck on to Chris Beard, too.
Wrapping up another one. Yeah, man.
That's a big one, too.
That is big. And the work that they've done over 3 months to build a roster that was, I mean, if you're ranking Texas's roster, when Chris Beard got here, you had like four guys. And now you've got 12 players,
yes,
and it's a top three roster, right? And so he is he's attacked the portal, attacked recruiting and selling. Much like, you know, we talked about when Chris Beard was able to lure two sitting head coaches to be assistant coaches for him, he's selling a vision.
Yes.
And he's connecting with people and selling where it is and where it can go. But I will say this for Chris Beard, and the big buck on for me is that he said at his introductory news conference, this will not be a rebuild. I'm not interested to talk about rebuilds. I'm not interested to talk about next year when we get our new building. We're ready to win this year. Or at least that's the plan. And no one works harder than Chris Beard to make that happen. And he was out there yesterday sending off the baseball team. You see that? He was out. That was pretty cool, too. He was, you know, we know he's a very engaging guy, wants to be around the fans and build his own fan base, so we're better to go. He was out there when the Texas baseball team got on the bus to go to the airport. I don't know what the number were out there, but there was Chris Beard, front and center, shaking hands, talking to people, cheering on the baseball team. So that was cool. So good for him. So, yeah, buck on there, and buck on to David Pierce. You know, we talk to him each Thursday, and he's always candid with us, but anytime you give David Pierce credit, he deflects it, but he's done a hell of a job.
He's done a great job. I think he's a fantastic manager.
He is, and I, you know.
And a speedster at third base. Said he played a little center field. He can run. He can go get it. It's interesting.
He did play center field. Well, look, there's a great success story there in David Pierce. I mean, he was a middle school football coach. I mean, he's climbed the ladder to get where he's at. And even when he got the Texas job, there were a lot of people that weren't real happy with the hire. Not because they're anything against David Pierce, but remember, it was more about the Texas Athletic Department who was putting a cap on on salaries and
blended 6% at the time.
Yeah, Steve Patterson in the wake of that, and Mike Perrin had taken over, and you know, it was, you know, Augie Garrido had been making over $1 million, and they went out to a season, and they went out to hire a new coach, and they capped it at like $800,000. So all the top coaches around the country were like, "What? I'm not even gonna make what Augie was making if I'm gonna come in and take over, because Texas football is like the most storied program in all of college baseball. It's a huge honor to be given the job or offer the job, but
yes,
you're capping the salary. That didn't make sense." And so fans were mad. Mike Perrin's hands were a little bit cuffed as far as who he could get. But he identified David Pierce early as a guy that has all the connections in the state of Texas, recruiting-wise, and had been at the right hand of Wayne Graham for a long time at Rice and had run his own programs at Tulane and Sam Houston State and was ready for the opportunity. And, you know, you can tell David Pierce heard a lot of that chatter when he took the job. And
well, you know he did.
He doesn't remind you of it, but you know it drove him. And, you know, he's been in Omaha twice in 4 years now.
Anybody that says in Austin, Texas, they don't listen to the noise, listens to the noise.
Oh, yeah.
You have to hear it. You and I have heard so many coaches say, our team doesn't listen to the noise. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you do.
They hear it. And he heard it, mate.
Right.
And that's a driving force of hey.
It's a good thing for him.
They said I wasn't good enough. Well, now they're in Omaha, and we'll see. Now they got work to do when they get there, of course.
For sure.
The real work begins. All right, that's a buck on, too, and a buck on to our next guest on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Always a tremendous conversation, talking golf with the great Dave Pels from Pels Golf. He is the short game guru and the coach of Phil Mickelson's short game and Patrick Reed and so many others on the tour, and he joins us on the hotline. Dave, good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Excited about this Open that we can't get started yet.
Yeah, we dealing with the fog delay?
Yeah.
Fog delay out
there.
Yeah. Well, that happens out there in California. You know what I'm saying?
It happens.
You know, you're sounding good again, my friend. You sound good. You sound healthy. You sound like you're excited about this U.S. Open and for a couple of your guys. I mean, not just Phil, but you've been involved with a bunch of guys on the PGA Tour, Dave, for a long, long time. And then, as I said, when I hear your healthy voice, it's great because that means more of them are coming to you and you're feeling good too.
Well, it is a great game that you can, you can be active, as Phil has just proven, for as long as you stay really, really healthy and really strong. And that's what he's doing. Hopefully he's going to start a 3 to 6 year run of the best golf he's ever played, which, you know, the players are better now than they've ever been. So I don't know how many wins that will produce, but his ultimate goal is 50 wins, and I'd love to see him make that. And like for him to get another, I'd love for him to get the U.S. Open. Man, I'll tell you, in the next 3-4 years, he's got chances, and this is a good one this week if he can drive it in the fairway. It's tough course to hit the fairway here, though.
Yeah, very narrow. Dave Pelz is with us, and we talked to you the Monday after the PGA Championship when Phil had won, and I asked you, you know, were you surprised at all? The golf world was pretty surprised that he won that thing out of nowhere, but you said you were not surprised at all, and as you said, it's part of a 3-year plan that he's had. And there's been kind of a look in his eye ever since he, you know, hoisted that Wanamaker trophy, Dave, that, you know, he knows and he knew at the time that this is in his hometown of San Diego. It's at Torrey Pines. It's the one major he's not won in the career Grand Slam. And, you know, he even said at Kiowa that he has a plan here. He's going to, you know, go honor his commitment this week, but then he's going to go back home and get ready for this tournament. There was kind of a, in my eyes, an eye of the tiger look to Phil Mickelson about this weekend.
Well, you're right. He's just committed to giving himself the best chance he can over the next few years because, you know, when you think about how he worked for years, we spent, 10 years tightening up his wedge game, which he's always been able to hit the fantastic shots. But what we found out just by looking at the data that he wasn't as, if you gave him a normal shot that wasn't very difficult, he was just tour average. Didn't really engage in those, and but if you gave him a difficult shot, then he was the best by far. So we tried to get him really focused in on the average, everyday, easy up and down shots, and his stats improved, and he started winning majors when he stopped not hitting it up and down on the easy ones, and he did that. Then he spent 5 years getting more distance, changing his body, changing his strength, changing his hand and arm and shoulder and core speed. Now he's got more distance. Andrew Getson's got him swinging it really well. His misses aren't as bad as they used to be. So technically, sitting here, I'm just absolutely convinced by facts that he's better than he's ever been, potentially. The question is, he's 51, and can he keep it all together mentally? He's got, you know, more pressure now, but now that he's getting near the top of the golfers who've ever played, I mean, you know, Bobby Jones and Arnold Palmer won 7 majors, and Sam Snead won 7. I mean, we're talking really the elite of the game, and he's at 6 now. If he could win a 7th one, and then if he could ever get to 9, let's say he stays healthy for another 5 years, if he could get to 9, now he's where Hogan. He's up there with Hogan. And we're talking, you know, top 5 all-timers. So he's really on the edge of greatness and, maybe it's super greatness. I don't know.
You know, Dave, longevity is important in a lot of sports. And in golf, obviously, it's incredible if you have that longevity. Like you said, some of the greats that you just named. But with that longevity comes a lot of different distractions, a lot of things in your life. Phil's kids are now, I got to believe they're teenagers, almost getting ready to go to dadgum college. There's a lot of things besides the game of golf that Phil, you know, with his companies and things like that, that's got to be a big part of the mentality of really being competitive at that age too. Well, I got a business over here, you know, my shirt company, I got these sunglasses going on. And I know a lot of people take care of that for you. But in your mind, aren't there a lot of distractions as you get older in the game of golf? It's not just the game of golf anymore.
Oh, I'm telling you. I mean, his kids, 2 of them are in college, and he's a family man above all. I mean, number one, he's a family man. He'll drop any tournament, including the U.S. Open, if one of his kids needs him or his wife. I mean, he's a family man, and I love that about him. His parents are still reasonably healthy, and they're great people. They taught him the right way. He's a gentleman. And so golf is not number one in his life, although he's about as enthusiastic a golfer as I've ever seen. When I met him in 2004, it was actually in December 2003 we started working. And the first year we went out to the Masters early, I finally convinced him he's going to go to a championship event and prepare early so there are no surprises. That was our theme. Our goal was to have, if you hit a bad shot, there's no protecting against it. Forget it. You just hit it bad. You're not a perfect, you're a human being. No problem. But if you hit a good shot and it turns out bad, then you weren't prepared. You aimed the wrong place or you didn't understand how it was going to roll or break. And so we started preparing. But after the preparation, you know what we did? We went to, what are they? Dunkin' Donuts. That's what it is, Dunkin' Donuts. And this man ordered, he's driving, of course, and we're going back to the hotel, hard day work. He orders 13, a baker's dozen, of glazed sugar donuts. And he grins at me, and, you know, he's like, I don't know, 225 or I'm 280, and I'm on a diet. I just happen to be on a diet. And I said, no thanks, Phil. I'm gonna get down because it's just too hard for me to move around at 285. So he sits there grinning and says, don't worry, I can handle this. He eats 13 donuts, and he's got a lot of extra weight on him, and he was just young and thought he was bulletproof. Well, then, you know, 6 years later, he's won three majors, and he gets psoriatic arthritis. He can't get out of bed in the morning, and he starts realizing, hey, I'm not bulletproof. I'm going to take care of myself. And that started the transformation of Phil, who is now in as good a shape as he's ever been, strong as he's ever been, still has a little bit of psoriatic arthritis, but he's managing it. And, I mean, you know, a lot of players, the psoriatic arthritis is really serious. I know a good friend, one of the great putters of all time. What was his name? Shoot, I should have thought of that earlier. Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute.
Okay.
He got psoriatic arthritis and never hit another golf shot.
Oh, wow.
So it ended.
I know. We lose Dave out in Dripping Springs right there. Boom.
Dave, damn, I want the rest of that story.
We'll get it. We'll call him back. Dave Pels, by the way, and no coincidence that when he started working with Phil Mickelson in 2003, as he said, that's when Phil Mickelson, you know, lived up to his potential, started winning major championships in 04 and 05 and 06, 10, and now, and then 13. And then he won, of course, the PGA Championship just right. This past month. And he will be one of the storylines, the main storyline at the U.S. Open. Can he be in contention here again becomes the question with Dave Pels. And let me say, if you're a golfer and you want to improve your golf game, Dave has a website, PelsGolf.com. It's PELZGolf.com. And there's instruction there. There's videos and tips and, man, mastering the game 100 yards in is essentially what Dave teaches, and Phil Mickelson has absolutely done that. And Dave, finish your story about the psoriatic arthritis as we lost your connection right there, but finish that up.
Finish what?
You were talking about a player with psoriatic arthritis that never played again, but Phil Mickelson has come through it.
And Phil has, you know, he got it the day before the U.S. Open and couldn't get out of bed. Back in, I don't remember what year it was. But anyway, it's a very serious disease. He's been on medication, and he's still playing. I mean, he's winning tournaments and winning majors. And if he can stay healthy another 3 to 6 years, yeah, that's my really hope, is that he stays healthy. And now he can use his game, which is stronger in every department than it's ever been, physically, mentally. If he can stay in there and stay healthy, he can do it. He can win more.
Interesting.
You know, Dave, let me ask you, when this tournament is being played, this is kind of his home course, but this is also a tournament that the rest of the PGA has played on now. I think they play the Farmers there at Torrey Pines. The advantage of playing, most guys that play, I don't care if they're the average golfer, when they bring you from a neighboring course and you play their course, it's an advantage for them. They know where to hit the ball. They know where the ball, if it hits the fairway on the right side, it goes into the woods to the right. You know, it doesn't just hang right there for you. This is a pretty good advantage for Phil also, at the fact that they're playing at Torrey Pines.
Well, I'm hoping that it finally will be exactly as you say, because the last few years he has not played it very often because once it was redesigned and the fairways got really tight, he didn't enjoy it very much because those were the years he was not driving it very well. So he hasn't been at that course very often except for the Farmers, and so he doesn't have much advantage in that sense, but this year he did go out and did study it, and he really looked at the greens really, really closely. So now I think he's back in the mode where it just might be an advantage for him.
We'll see. How much, and last thing, Dave, on Phil Mickelson, is his brother on the bag? I mean, I know at the PGA that was with a lot of conversations with those two, and you told us that you know he's a great golfer and a golf coach himself. How about Team Mickelson and what kind of damage they can do moving forward?
You know, this is amazing to say because I thought Bones Mackay, I thought Bones was the best caddy I had ever seen, and I walked with him for many, many years, maybe 10 years with Phil. And then they separated, and I thought, well, that's going to be a real detriment. I don't think there'll ever be another caddy that's as good as him. I think Tim is better, if anything. Not better carrying the bag, but Tim is strong. Tim is a golfer of immense skill. I mean, Tim could probably play the tour if he put his mind to it. He's really good. But in addition, he's a coach. He's got the mind, the mental aspect of, hey, let me help you get better. And that's just, they're talking we all the time now. When I talk to them, in fact, the last time I went out, I was in San Diego with Tim and Phil. We made sure Tim was there because I want Tim to know everything that I have thought that I think will help, and then he can help Phil get. One thing Phil does have a tendency to do is over-exaggerate. You know, if I give him a good idea, or anybody gives him a good idea, he takes it and he runs with it, and then he has to back off and fit it into his game to where it's really, really beneficial. Because when you overdo things, it's like aspirin. If you know, you can choke and die on them if you take too many of them. But a little 181 milligram tablet of aspirin a day is a great thing for most people. So anyway, that's Tim, I think, is the best caddy he's ever had. And that's saying a whale of a lot because Bones was a fabulous caddy.
You know, last thing for me, Dave, with you, and I definitely want to get your opinion on this. They're about to get rid of that. I hope they are. The PGA is about to get rid of that little book, that greens book that they have, where they're studying the greens. I really like the guys to take more responsibility themselves to go out there. And Rory McIlroy said it. I want to be responsible. I don't want a book. He said he uses it, but he goes, I don't like it. And a number of players don't like it, being able to do that. They don't use it at the Masters. Are you against having that book for all these greens that are out there on all the tours, on all the tournaments?
Well, I'm against people giving people information. I think if the guys go out and they had a caddy walk it off or a laser range finder, and they mark that in their book that it's so much to here and so much to there, mm-hmm. That's preparing. I like that. I like the fact that if they go out and they putt on a green and it breaks more than they think, they mark that or they mark what it broke from here to there. If they're preparing and they're doing it, I think it's all fair, it's all good, it's all go. For a machine to do it for you or a book to do it for you, I don't think that's quite as good.
Very interesting. PelsGolf.com is the website, Dave. And for our average golfers out there, you know, you talk about 100 yards in and mastering those games. If you want to bring your score down, and that's what your website and what your schools are all about. Everybody goes to the driving range, wants to hit drivers all day and hit it long, but the game is played 100 yards to the pin, and that's what Pels Golf is all about.
You're exactly right. 80% of all practice is full swing power game, and 15% is putting. And people do practice that, but almost nobody practices the short game. The problem is they just don't have a good place to practice it, and they don't know how to practice it, and it's a killer. If you can't get your wedges close to the hole, you can't make the putts. That's the game. That's a scoring game.
All right, we're going to hear the guys say, when Phil says about Pelts, you know, are the announcers going to understand what they're talking about now this week, you think?
That was such a topic in the last few weeks. I've done 100 interviews about it, And I think Phil taking a little yardage off his wedges with his Pell swing should be known now. He tries to take a little three-quarter swing, and he tries to take his hands up to his shoulders on the backswing, and then he goes from there, and that's the Pell swing. It could be done with anything from a wedge up to a six-iron, and I think they ought to know it. They ought to know it by now.
We appreciate it, Dave. Look forward to the weekend. I know you do, too, and happy Father's Day, and appreciate you being with us on this Thursday.
Stay safe, Dave.
Same to you all. Enjoy being with you all. Good U.S. Open. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. Get that fog out of there in San Diego. There's Dave Pelz. PelzGolf.com, PelzGolf.com. Understanding the fundamentals and developing that short game. That's where the scoring happens, Buck. Because if you can, as Harvey Penick taught, take that aim. You got to know what you're doing, though,
especially
to take that aim.
Especially when you're old like me and you can't get there in regulation. That 100-yard shot in there, if it's your third to a long par four, you need to get it close to the pin. Got to be able to do those kind of things.
Well, not good news for Longhorn football. We just got a note from our friend Jeff Howe at Horns 24/7 of a decommitment for the Longhorns. We'll tell you who that is when we come back. May actually reach out to Jeff, see if he'll give us some scoop on this. We'll have that breaking news for you on the other side. Also, the U.S. Open teeing off. A lot going on. B&E live, local, and digital. Breaking Texas football news next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Boy, pretty surprising development from Texas football this morning, or just moments ago. The four-star running back for the class of 2023, Reuben Owens, has decommitted from Texas. He's from El Campo, Texas. Speedster. Number one running back in the state for that class of 2023. He said in a statement, he said, "I'm beyond thankful to all of the love and support from the Texas Longhorns coaching staff, fan base, and recruiting media. There is a lot to carefully evaluate, especially this early, and now I see that. Although the University of Texas will be one of the programs I will consider, I'm officially decommitting and reopening my recruiting campaign. I would like to thank everyone for their continued support through the process." So, sounds like a young guy. He was here this weekend, by the way. He was part of the weekend visit with Arch Manning and all the class of 2022 and 23 that were here. Seemed to have a good time, but I always wonder when players commit somewhere as a sophomore, I mean, and then into their junior year, there's going to be, you know, am I making the right call?
Sure.
Doesn't mean they won't end up here, but
and there's one for 2022 that's still coming, right?
Jaden Blue, yes.
Okay, well then that's the one I thought. So I'm okay with that.
No, this is 2023.
Right, that's fine.
Yeah. More Jeff Howe from Horns 24/7. We'll have more on that coming up on Light the Tower, of course, as Craig Way is in Omaha, and Jeff will have the very latest on that front, as he's going to be at an event downtown at the Fairmont Hotel today doing the show live. You ever been in that hotel? It's a beauty.
I have.
Beautiful hotel. But that's where they're doing a Boys and Girls Club thing, and Steve Sarkisian will be there. So Jeff's going to be there to cover it, and that's where he'll bring you the show today, coming up at the top of the hour. But he'll have more on the decommitment of Reuben Owens. Thank you to Dave Pelz. That was a good conversation. He is the short game coach of one Phil Mickelson and believes he's got 3 to 5 more great or potentially really good years of golf in him if he can stay healthy and stay on the current track. He is the PGA champion and would like to win the U.S. Open. With that in mind, let's go to the Vaquero's Cafe and Canteen Hotline. He is live at Torrey Pines in San Diego. He's the host of Beyond the Clubhouse, a podcast which is very, very popular. Also a sports editor and journalist at golf.com. He's our friend Garrett Johnston. Garrett, how are you, bud?
Good, man. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing good. Are we underway yet, or are we still dealing with fog at Torrey Pines?
That's a great question. I walked in the media center. What is it now? 7:34. We were scheduled. It was supposed to be a 45-minute delay, and so we're looking. We should be underway. It should have started 4 minutes ago.
Okay.
So that's the very first group. So there's 156 players that got to get this in somehow today, Bucky and Aaron.
Wow.
Hey, give me your thoughts on the course. What have you heard from the players leading up to this and in the practice rounds? We know it's, you know, they play on this course at the Farmers, but the setup is different. The fairways are narrow. The rough is thick. What were the reports back from the early practice rounds this week?
Yeah, no, I talked to a few players, including some Longhorns, Pearson Cooney and Cole Hammer as well. This is Cole's third U.S. Open. Pearson, who's his roommate at Texas, he joked, "I think he knows what he's doing now." Okay, he's been at it for a while. Both cool stories, obviously. Their dad was on the bag in Hammer's case. His dad was on the bag first couple U.S. Opens. This year he's got a different guy. But now Pearson Cootie's got his dad Kyle Cootey on the bag. And listen, both of them love the golf course. We're talking about the conditions, right?
Yeah.
The rough is about an inch longer than what it is at Farmers. But in terms of playability, to your point, Aaron, it's going to be very similar. I mean, it's not playing longer, according to a lot of the caddies and players I've talked to. They feel like, yes, it's a little firmer and faster, so you're going to have a little more roll in the fairways, but it's still dense air here in San Diego. The ball's not going to travel. You know what I mean? Like, you're not getting a short course at all. So there's not a big variety. I did talk to Patrick Reed and his caddy, Kessler Corain. I mean, Reed was last guy to win here, right? Just 5 months ago. And he said that accuracy is important. You're going to have to leave the driver in the bag on some of these holes you'd normally hit driver at during the Farmers Insurance Open and go three wood, because you have to be in the fairway in position to have any chance to attack the pins at a U.S. Open. So in terms of psychology, that's what they're thinking, kind of laying back a little bit, you know. And, hey, listen, they had the luxury of an amazing short game. Patrick Reed's probably one of the best in the world. I helped him get that win at Farmers here at Torrey. So we'll see. But not too drastic in terms of what this course is like in January and now.
You know what? It sets well for a guy like Rosie. It really, really does for Justin Rose. I like the fact that he can pull out his three wood, very confident in it, and use it like it's a driver at a place like this. Tell us about Koepka, where his mind is right now. He's got two guys that are at this event right now and probably others that don't really like him, but he obviously DeChambeau doesn't like him. And then he's got to deal with Phil after what Phil did to him a couple of weeks ago. Where is he at physically, and where do you think he is mentally?
Well, I've seen him on the range about three times this week or early in the week. He looks fine. He's moving physically fine. I'm not worried about, you know, obviously he's not taking the prescribed time from the doctor to get healed, ideally. I think he's supposed to be out for 2 or 3 months, but he's pushing it. He's out here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm not worried about what happened to him with Phil in that last group. I mean, the fact that he got into the last group, I know, you know, you don't play well every single time you're in the final group unless you're Tiger Woods, right? So the fact that in a deep field at the PGA, he's coming off being in that final group, I think that's huge. I think he takes confidence from that. And when you talk about the guys that Brooks Koepka doesn't like, I did talk to one of them, Bryson DeChambeau, after his 1.5 hour Wednesday evening range display. He was out there. It's crazy. How many times have we seen a defending champion, especially a player of his stature, out there till about 7:45 at night on the range the night before defending his title at U.S. Open? Okay, you rarely see that. And I said, "What's going on? What are you working on?" And DeChambeau is like, "Well, everybody freaks out when I'm on the range. It's just like I'm just trying to hit my driver better. Period. You know, I was working on wedges, but I just want to hit it better. I'm not worried about anything. It's just I've got to dial that in." So that's how he coughed it up. Hey, I put him on the spot though, guys, and I said, "You have a scoring average on the Torrey Pines property in two PGA Tour events. You've only played this twice. 74.5. What's going on?" And he said, "Oh, well, I was second in the junior world." Yeah, like 50. Okay, so second in junior worlds, and then I'm like, okay, so how are you going to manage yourself around here? This is not a course that you schedule and make a priority to come out and play. And he's like, "Well, you know, as long as I'm driving well, it's U.S. Open, so the key for me is driver here, and then just avoiding the three putts. Like, that's the way I got to look at it this week at Torrey." So this is not a course he's in love with, period. So I don't know if Bryson, as a defending champ, is going to have as much of an advantage as other defending champs have had going into that next year.
Garrett Johnston is our guest. He's at Torrey Pines. He's the host of the podcast Beyond the Clubhouse. As you can tell, great insights from behind the between the ropes and from the best players in the world. Hey, Garrett, the Jordan Spieth factor, where do you think his game is right now coming into this? And do you have a pick? Do you have a favorite? Somebody you are hitching your wagon to this weekend?
Yeah, I like Jordan in terms of his game. He seems to me like he's been trending. No one can keep up what he did on the West Coast Swing, right? He was like second every week, and then he finally got the win, later in the spring. But listen, he looks comfortable. He looks collected. I talked to his caddy, Michael Greller, and Greller said they like this course. Remember, they were in the final group in 2014 at Torrey Pines. The first time, I know it's a different golf course, but the first time he ever played in the presence of Tiger Woods was at Torrey Pines property on the North course, and he shot 62. You know what I mean? I know it's a different course. It's not the same course as here, but listen, Spieth was comfortable in front of Tiger for the first time ever. On this property, was comfortable. I mean, I like his track record here at Torrey Pines. So that's a big one. If you ask for a pick, man, John Rahm, it's so hard to overlook what he's been able to do. You know, it was such a story there at Memorial where he had to pull out with COVID. But, hey, he got out of it early. He didn't have to isolate for as long as expected. He got a negative test. So this guy not only knows the course as well as anyone, has played it as well as anyone since 2017, but he's been able to get in the proper preparation time, and he's got an amazing caddy, Adam Hayes, on the bag. 21 years he's been at it. And they are such a good team, and they look so confident when I've seen them on the range this week, chipping, putting. I mean, that's a huge factor, and he looks comfortable. That's a big thing for Rahm. I'm going to go with Rahm. Who do you guys like?
All right, I got the dark horse. My dark horse is Webb Simpson to win it. That's the dark horse. The other one I believe that will win it, is Hideki. I think he's taken a couple weeks off. I know he came back to play, just trying to get himself back into kind of golf shape. I mean, that guy being a hero in Japan, I mean, his days, every day must have just been packed with things to do. But that guy's one of the most consistent golfers on the tour. And Matsuyama, I believe he's going to win this.
That's a good pick. But Webb Simpson, dude, the guy doesn't hit it anywhere. He's going to win a long U.S. Open? He's going to win a long U.S. Open in dense air.
I'm taking Webb. I got him as a
call him Weeb.
That's why I called him my dark horse.
Attaboy.
All right, Garrett. Listen, appreciate it. We'll check in later, early next week, and once we know how things go, enjoy the tournament. Let's see if we can get them underway today with this fog delay, and we always appreciate the visit and the insight.
You got it, boys. Great to catch up.
Thank you.
Garrett Johnston, the host of the Beyond the Clubhouse podcast. You find him on Twitter at Johnston Garrett, Johnston with a T, and then two R's, two T's, Garrett Johnston. Likes John Rahm. I know you like John Rahm too.
Yeah, I like him in my first group, yes.
The Spaniard. Yeah. That whole COVID thing, and that was a debate nationally. How about that? He fails the test, but he had already gotten the first injection, not the second, but he fails the test, and then pretty soon after gets a negative. And that whole thing cost him $2 million.
Yes, it did.
That'll leave you a bit sour. A, these are the best players in the world, and you have a chance to win Jack Nicklaus's tournament
right. And
run away with it. But $2 million is $2 million.
Yeah, and for player of the year too. That's a part of being you
oh,
love
FedEx
being player
points.
Of the year. FedEx points, $10 million.
Oh yeah, I mean all of it. And you know, as we said, he probably should have gotten the injection sooner and gotten himself vaccinated. But at the same time, for a 26-year-old, that $2 million check would have been sweet.
Wow.
All right. So he likes John Rahm. I like Phil. I'm taking Phil. I'm on with Eddie. I'm on with Dave Pels. But as Garrett just told you,
I'm going to be rooting Webb Simpson on hard this weekend.
Weeb.
Come on, Weeb.
Weeb.
He said he doesn't hit it anywhere. That's great.
That short knocker? What are you picking him for?
Why are you picking that guy?
Yeah. All right, we'll have more on the Reuben Owens decommitment coming up and the other top stories of the morning. That has just broken here in this hour. The young running back out of El Campo, Texas. We'll get you the very latest there. And as somebody texted, Reuben Owens is going where Arch Manning goes. And they were palling around together over the weekend, and now there's a feel that wherever Arch ends up is where Reuben Owens is going to go. Some believe that Texas has a good shot at Arch Manning, and that Steve Sarkisian has done a great job recruiting him, but we'll see.
I just never know why a kid commits like that, that part.
That early.
Anyway, I don't get that.
Well, I guess if you know, you know. I mean, Sam Ellinger could have committed to Texas when he was in freshman
right.
in middle school because he knew that's where he wanted to go. But at the same time, yeah, I mean,
Too many things happen at other campuses. Once you get there, you're like, wow, yeah, this is special.
Yeah, take all your visits.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess what you're saying is what I believe, too. That's what I would tell my own kid. You know, gather all the information and then
right.
make a decision. There's no reason to make a decision until you...
I mean, who you try to satisfy by say you're going somewhere only to tell them, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. I mean, you would want to get all the info.
Right.
And you know how coaches are. Once you're committed, they don't want you out there taking visits. I mean, you're ours. I mean, you're coming to our place. But that has come down this morning. We'll get more on that. Also tee it up for Jeff Howe. He's going to be down at the Fairmont Hotel hosting the Light the Tower show today. And Bucky's going to be a guest on Shirts and Skins today. We'll get a
yes.
preview of what y'all are talking about. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Thursday on the Horn, that means buck-ons and buck-offs. We had them all morning long. Brought to you by Green Mountain Flower. Best buck-ons of the day, David Pierce. Great conversation. He sounded like it's going to be Ty Madden on Sunday night, but he wouldn't confirm that to us.
I'm pretty sure it's leaning that direction, though.
It sounded like it. He dropped the old Daryl Royal dance with Who Brung You.
Yeah, that's what
statement.
I'm thinking. As soon as I heard that, I'm thinking, okay, I got you.
But as we've said, Mississippi State, a team that kind of hunts the fastball, good fastball hitting team up and down the lineup. And so maybe there's a thought you go with a Tristan Stevens, who's, you know, more of the pitcher as far as, you know, keeps the ball down, throws a lot of ground balls, doesn't rely on the fastball like Ty Madden relies on the heavy fastball and then the sharp breaking ball off of that. So we'll see if that gets made official. They have till Sunday to decide at 6 o'clock. Also, Buck, on to Dave Pels, who was with us. We appreciate him. Also, Buck on to soccer fans in Austin. 20,500 of them
showed up
at the Austin FC new stadium last night. And good reports. Traffic was you know, everybody's feeling it out, but a lot of folks parked at the Domain or met a friend who lives in the Domain and, you know, tailgated over there and then headed over. I think that'll be a very popular thing to do for
Buck,
the game.
Buck has the Ubers.
Buck has
it. That's
you
right.
Do Uber now?
I don't do Uber, but I have Uber that I can do it. I can park out there and get an Uber from. That's right. I'll take an Uber from the Domain to the stadium, 6 blocks. I'm not walking 6 blocks.
Will they pick you up at the Domain? That's not like I'm making any money doing that. I'm taking you like 100.
Oh, they're going to be a little extra something, something.
Well, but it seems to me that if you get in the Uber, it's certainly that close, but then the Uber is just going to sit. But I guess
I don't have to drive it. I don't have to put my car over there.
Right. The Uber can just get it in the drop off line.
Where are those dudes on the bicycles with the little.
That's what you need to do is get
rickshaw.
A bicycle.
No, not a bicycle, me. What, remember you and I took the rickshaw together in San Diego?
Yeah.
Ride downtown
the
to
rickshaw.
San...
That was really quite, you know what, but.
It was kind of.
Was yeah. People were looking at them. Yeah, we got in the rickshaw, Bucky and I together.
Like a date. Like it was like late at night.
Late
we jumped
at night,
in a rickshaw.
We were going to dinner.
Yep.
Oh, nothing to see here.
Yeah.
We did have
they were
going
to play leapfrog later on. Yeah, but it's
well,
different.
I know my wife and I one time we were in Chicago and we went to a Chicago Bears preseason game because it was September. No, August. It was August. They played the Chiefs and we rode bikes. We rode bikes down to the Bears game, blocked them up, walked them right up to the stadium at Soldier Field.
I don't see any scooters anymore. When the homeless people left, so did the scooters. What's the deal?
Did the homeless people leave?
I think they have.
I don't know that they've disappeared. Hey, so
I don't know. I don't go down there.
Also, buck off of the day was to Herm Edwards in the Arizona State.
I'm going to go home and take a nap because I'm not believing this is happening.
Herm.
That's all I want to say to him.
Herm. I know you play to win the game, brother, but
this can't be true.
Sounds true.
It ain't true.
Sounds true to me. Also, Longhorn fans bummed to hear that Reuben Owens, the number two running back in the nation for the class of 2023, is decommitted. But Jeff Howell will have more on this coming up live from the Fairmont Hotel. According to his father, Reuben Owens, the Longhorns are still the leader moving forward. But the father said, we're just going to open it up and make sure we're making the right choice for him and making sure he makes the right choice for his future. So,
makes sense.
It certainly does. Appreciate the Buck Ons and Buck Offs today. Buck, get some rest.
I'm going to.
Watch some golf.
Oh, yeah.
U.S. Open.
And I got to come back with Trey Elling. Oh.
Oh, yeah. What are you guys talking about on these shirts? Are you going to wear a shirt?
Yeah.
Are you going
I don't,
skins today?
I don't know. He never tells me what's happening. I just show up.
Oh, man. Isaiah Collier, great job. Every hour, all the great guests today, including David Pierce podcast at hornfm.com. Enjoy the golf. Enjoy your Thursday. We'll be talking about it bright and early or dark and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., live, local, and digital. You know we're always streaming on your smart speaker, on your Horn app, and at hornfm.com.